You're listening to episode 13 of the Fearless English Podcast. Welcome to the Fearless English Podcast, where it's all about helping you confidently communicate with anyone without compromising who you are. Let's get started, Fearless Learner. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Halima.
Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. I'm super excited to talk to you today about school.
Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to talk about it. It's one of my favorite subjects, actually. When you sent me the email saying we're going to talk about school, I thought, fantastic.
Yeah, I've been meaning to have someone to talk to me about school, like that's experience school in the UK, especially because like my experience is just a whole story of its own. But I would love to kind of compare my experience with yours today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so first of all, where did you go to school?
So I actually went to school in Chelmsford, Essex, which is where I'm from, which is about 30 minutes outside London. And I actually went to a Catholic school, primary school and secondary school, because my grandparents were Italian and I think quite keen for me to do this. And I never really thought anything of that. It was only when I got a bit older, I realized it was a bit strange. And all the other schools used to kind of make fun out of us because we went to a Catholic school. But For me, it was just normal, obviously.
Was it like a boys' school only?
No, it wasn't. Because I think, yeah, there are other schools like this. Someone, for example, I met at university went to a Catholic school and she told me it was a all-girls school. But no, ours a mixed school. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's interesting. I went to school in London at a place called Hendon. And it was, you know, mixed. It wasn't, you know, a one-sided, I guess, like, it was like a female-only or male-only school.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that is quite common in England. And especially in England, what are known as the grammar schools, which to go to these schools, you have to pass a specific exam when you're 11, I think. But one thing I noticed, certainly where I'm from anyway, these two grammar schools, they were, yeah, all boys and all girls, but they always seem to be very near each other. Like the boys' school is near the girls' school, like really close. So I think in the end, I think, obviously, I don't know, but it almost becomes like one school in the end because they're so close and they often see each other. And that, I think, is generally the general experience of these schools.
I see. I mean, I'm like guessing that during lunchtime, everybody is meeting everybody. So it's like, there's not really,
It's just lessons, I believe, that are like that are just all boys, all girls. Yeah.
I see. Like, do they share the same playground?
I'm not 100% sure about that. I don't know. I'd like to say, I'm just imagining these things because I didn't go to one of them schools.
Did you have to wear a uniform?
Yes, absolutely, which is obviously quite common in the UK. So again, where I grew up, all of the schools had uniform. It was just totally normal. In fact, when I came to Italy and I found out they don't wear uniform, for me, it was really strange. I was like, well.
When I found out that other schools in other countries don't wear uniforms, I was a little bit surprised as well, because my school, we had to wear a blazer, a tie, we had a badge. Yeah, so that was just normal. What are your thoughts around school uniforms?
It's a tough one, really, because so my initial impression when I found out, for example, here in Italy, they don't wear uniforms, I thought, oh, that would have been terrible, because like every day you've almost got pressure of something, I think, especially in those teenage years where, you know, people like kind of judge each other on like clothes and lots of these stupid things that happen. I kind of thought, well, I'm happy I didn't have any of that because, you know, it's just like you said, shirt, blazer, tie, like same thing every day. So there's that part. But then at the same time, I kind of think, is it kind of like sort of like repressive of like stopping creativity? I'm not sure. So because I grew up in that system, for me a uniform is better, but I don't know if that is the best solution.
Like, I agree. If anything, I would say that, like, society needs to, like, think about uniforms as well. Because I feel like, yes, people kind of are able to showcase their creativity. But at the end of the day, there are students that are from maybe underprivileged backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Or they're not able to buy the latest, I don't know, clothes. And what I've seen from the US is, like, you know, from seeing it in the movies, maybe this is my imagination. Like, I can just imagine the most popular children have, like, wearing designer or the most expensive clothes and not ever feeling like you could, like, ever get to that point where you can wear those kind of clothes. And it just sets up really high expectations for children. And I feel like the focus should be in school and not what they're wearing. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you there in literally everything you said. Because again, having grown up in the system of uniforms as well, it just seems normal. And yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. But part of me also thinks maybe there is that creative person that is thinking, but I just want to, like, express myself. I mean, that's not what I was thinking. I never thought, I mean, even now, I'm not that creative to, like, think I can express myself with clothes kind of thing. But maybe there is someone that's thinking, I really would like to do it, and starts feeling depressed of wearing, like, because normally these uniforms, like, people wear in Britain are always, like, dark and, like, grey or black.
Yeah.
And wearing that, like, every day for, like, a certain number of years, like, in the winter, it's cold.
and in the summer, it's too hot because you have to wear the blazer.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was starting a new society tomorrow, I would also put uniforms for the reasons you said.
Yeah, I would just make sure that they designed it properly, used better materials, and had the school provide them, because some of those items of clothing are very expensive.
Yeah,
just to buy a blazer, like, it costs, I don't remember back in the day, but these days, it, like, my sister has to buy a uniform and I'm like, why is it so expensive? Like,
yeah, I remember they were sort of quite expensive, like you said, back in the day. But I mean, obviously my parents were taking care of that, and I haven't really had any, I'm not really so in touch with the schools now, because like, I haven't even got friends that have got brothers or sisters, for example. So I've got no idea how much they cost now. But yeah, with, yeah, just rising costs in general, I'd imagine they are quite expensive.
But I mean, you still have to buy them. Maybe you'd have to buy a few jumpers, a few shirts, and that's it. Whereas, like, if you didn't have them, you just have to buy a whole wardrobe of clothes, exactly. That's right, and keep up. Yeah, so let's move on to the actual school. I wanted to talk to you about some of your favorite subjects. Like, what were your favorite subjects in school?
The classic kind of boy subjects of PE. So because you got, like, time to, like, run around and like, release some of your energy. And also, you know, as a young boy, I enjoyed getting dirty and muddy and stuff like this. So I always enjoyed that. And maths, actually, is a subject. I don't know what it is, but I think I remember hearing that boys generally prefer maths, and I think girls are generally better at things like English, like literature and stuff like this. Those were definitely my favorite subjects, really. I can't really think of any other subjects I really thought, this is great. Even maths, really. I liked maths because I was quite good at maths, but I don't remember arriving at maths lessons thinking, I can't wait for this. This is going to be amazing.
It's something that you, like, compared to your other subjects,
was
your favorite. Okay.
Which I sort of regret now as well, because so in schools, I'd imagine probably the same in your school. I think it's the same throughout the UK, that when you're 14, you have to make some choices and you kind of drop some subjects. And then when you're 16, you then have to, like, drop some more subjects. And I really regret those choices that I made, because you're still so young, really. So again, I don't know if that's a great thing to do, because, so for example, in Italy, you don't have that opportunity. You have to do all of the subjects until you're 18.
Okay.
Which I think maybe is a better idea, because between 14 and 18, a lot can change.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I was thinking about as well. I was like, I feel like at that time, at that age, the best thing to do is allow the children at school to experiment.
Exactly.
In every area. But I think they do it only for a very small period of time and they just jump to, let's pick your subject. I think you get to experiment with different topics, I mean, subjects from the age of year 7 until year 9.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. And then year 10 is when you start the subjects you've chosen. So, yeah, like you're making those choices at 14, which is very young, even though when you are 14, you think you're like you've mastered life. you soon realize that wasn't the case when you look back.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I had been in the country then for 4 years. So you can imagine, like, even then, like, I was like, oh my God, I have no idea, because literally there was no one that had gone through school to tell me, hey, this subject is you should pick this subject. Or I just went with, I thought, okay, I'm just going to do these topics because this is what I like doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty much the same as me as well. But then that also changed. Things that I like doing changed. So for example, I didn't study even a foreign language because in our school it wasn't necessary. I'm not sure if that's changed now, but when I was at school, it wasn't necessary to study a foreign language. So I kind of thought, well, not going to do that. A few years later, I kind of thought, oh, I'd love to learn a foreign language. Like now, obviously I speak Italian. So I didn't study a foreign language. And now, I mean, as an English teacher, obviously I love English now. Yeah. But at the time, I didn't really like it at all. So I dropped that, as we say, when you drop a subject. English was compulsory until 16. I didn't do it for A levels from 16 to 18. Yeah.
You That's didn't what select I mean. It after GCSE.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
What you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I had like a different relationship with my subjects. I absolutely detested maths. Like,
okay.
I was not very good at maths and I just didn't like it. And part of the reason is because we just had terrible teachers at the time. And they just didn't make the subject appealing at all. My favorite subject, like you, was PE. Like one of the things, I was really good at running. And like, I was like discovered like accidentally. So I was like in school, we had a race and I think I was just sitting and they were like, oh, you need to just substitute for this person while they come back from the bathroom, because they were doing tryouts for athletics, like when, do you know when they do Sports World or they compete or whatever?
Sports Day.
Yeah.
Why
did I say Sports World?
Maybe it was called Sports World in your school.
No, it was not. Definitely Sports Day, yeah. So okay. They were like, okay, yeah, run. And I was like, okay. And they just saw me like beat the fastest girl there.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, okay. So you're going in to run for all the sport running events. So that's when I discovered, okay, I'm really good at running. I'm good at like sports. So that's one of the subjects I chose for PE.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And the other subject I really enjoyed was textiles.
Okay.
Although I didn't really enjoy the part of actually making the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
The parts that I really enjoyed was creating. So anything to do with design was my thing. Like I loved that so much.
Yeah.
But I ended up not doing it. I actually wanted to do fashion design in university, but I ended up doing computer science instead because my mum's like, that's where the money's
right,
at.
Okay.
So yeah. So then, I mean, it's important, I think, for those of you listening anyway, that you really have to learn about what your children enjoy and are good at.
Absolutely.
Because like just forcing someone to kind of do a certain subject, at the end of the day, I ended up, you know, not doing anything related to computer science and just focusing on the things that I am good at, that I enjoy. So.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the choices I made for A levels. So I remember, for example, I chose like economics, which I even then studied at university. Mm-hmm. And again, I enjoyed it so much. I mean, I must admit, I didn't get any pressure from like anyone telling me about what to study. Also because I was the first person in my family to go to university, so no one gave me any advice about what to do
or
what not to do. But I chose it thinking, if I graduate in economics, I can work in a bank and I can earn lots of money. Instead of actually thinking, do I enjoy this? And then I did graduate in economics and then I did work in a bank and then quickly realized I absolutely hated it. So yes, I completely agree with you in trying to encourage, well, parents and children to follow what they enjoy, because that's, I always think, the most important thing. Because if you think as well, so you're going to be working for, like, I don't know, 40 years. And if you're doing something you hate for that long, like, for example, when I worked at a bank, like, the thought of doing that, like, for my whole life was, like, the scariest thing in the world. And I think lots of people do end up staying in those kind of jobs because, so I luckily decided to change before, for example, I had a family and stuff. But, for example, if you've got a family to support and stuff, it's a lot more difficult to change job. I completely agree. So, well, one, like we said before, getting young people to experiment, do different things. Like you gave the example of running. You didn't know you were good at running and then you did that and then you found out you were good at that. So, yeah, to get people to do many things, like make lots of mistakes early on in life, find what you're good at and then do that a lot.
Yeah, I completely agree with you because I think that's such an important part of discovering what you want to do. And then early on, you could find something that you really enjoy and then have success with it, like, a lot faster than if you just kind of, you started your experiment at the age of 25 and, you know, after like finding out that actually this is not what I want to do. And I just wasted 4 years or 3 years at university, 2 years at work doing absolutely something that I absolutely hate. So yeah, I think it is important to have a gap year. Like, I think maybe that would be a great like alternative to, like, if you can't experiment, because not everybody has access to being able to experiment with different things, take a gap year and just find out what you really like before you go to university. I think that should be mandatory. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I actually did take a gap year before I went to university, but I don't think I made the most of it. I just got a job in a shop basically and then saved up some money and then I went on a trip with one of my friends. But so taking the gap year, I do think is a good idea, but to try and use it more productively than I did, because, yeah, I mean, I just got a job there and then I was happy there and I thought, oh, this is all right. And then stayed there instead of actually trying to like push myself to do more things. But I think as well, these days, probably sound quite old saying this, but younger people have like more access to like online stuff, even like YouTube and stuff. So that's another way for them to find like maybe their passion of things that they enjoy. Because I mean, I finished school like nearly 20 years ago. Like, I've been learning so much in the last, especially 5-6 years, because now that you can just learn so much online. And I've taken so many different online courses about everything, really. I would encourage people to do that as well. I mean, especially if you have that gap year, so maybe like you can earn some money and then do some online courses and then see there maybe what you like as well.
I think that's such a good idea, especially first, like, I love that you mentioned YouTube, because a lot of like past students, so students that have taken certain subjects, will like just sit and talk about their experience in the subject.
Absolutely,
what they
yeah.
did and what they like found to be useful. So we never had any of that stuff, right? Like,
exactly.
We didn't even have like computers back in the day. Like, I had computers, but it wasn't as, the information wasn't available like the way it is right now. And the other thing that I really like is that you said there are courses, free courses online. The other day I went to ed, and then x, I think it's dot .com or something like that. It's a website designed and created by Harvard University. Where
I've done a few courses there as well. It's really good.
I love it so much. Like, it's so good. And that's such a great place, I think, to go and discover like different subjects that you might be interested in or thinking about doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many things that you can do, because like when I didn't even realize the things I could study at university, because for me, like the subjects I had studied at school, you know, like English, math, science, like the standard ones, but now you can study so many different things that I didn't even really know even existed. So yeah, even just going on the website you mentioned and just looking at some of the courses, maybe think, oh, that's interesting, and just following something, because obviously if you just read the title, then you don't know what it's actually going to be like. But yeah, you can then follow a few lectures, follow a course, and if you like that, then obviously you can take that further.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to like your experience in school.
Mm.
Share some like stories of lunchtime and what's it called? What you used to eat in school? Did you bring a packed lunch and so on?
Yeah, so in primary school, I was a packed lunch guy.
Those.
And then when I went to secondary school, then I used to get school dinners. And thinking back, like every day, literally everyone basically would eat something and chips. Like it was just like in our school, literally 5 days a week for a year, it was like sausages and chips, like burger and chips, or like fish fingers and chips, literally something and chips every day. And like, so the standard, I mean, I believe this has changed now.
Yeah.
Because people...
Since Jamie Oliver got involved or something.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, which obviously is a great thing, because they're obviously just trying to make the easiest thing and weren't really thinking about... Yeah, exactly. Weren't really thinking about like children's health and like trying to give them the right food to keep them like energized and stuff like this. So yeah, I used to have school dinners in secondary school, but yeah, I'm just lucky to still be alive, I think, after the stuff that I ate for so many years.
Yeah. Did you enjoy any of the desserts at least? Like, I always wondered like if the religious schools, like the, you know, Catholic schools had better food than we did.
I would say we probably had worse food, because I know for a fact that Catholic schools don't get as much funding as other schools.
Oh, really?
I
wonder why that is.
Yeah, I remember one of the teachers telling us once, but I can't remember. So they've actually got less money than other schools. Yeah, that's because when you said that, like Catholic schools, everyone's got this different image of everybody thinks that we were just like praying like all day.
That's
stuff,
what I imagine.
But it
nuns
was just,
everywhere.
So. Yeah, like there were no nuns. It was just a totally normal school, really.
So it was just the name was called Catholic
school?
Yeah, I mean,
we had to do, I think, there would like sometimes during the year, there would be like a mass at school, but for like Christmas, Easter. These kind of things. And for example, one probably difference with other schools is that it was compulsory to study religious education, for example, RE, as it was known. And the other rubbish thing about that is that you only study the Catholic religion. So
all religions.
Exactly,
in my school,
which would have been much better. but that really is the only difference. Otherwise, it's a normal school. Yeah.
I imagine that there's nothing else. I mean, it's kind of a bit mind blown because I just imagine so many different things.
Mm.
But the only thing different is RE, which...
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, we covered from Hinduism all the way to Buddhism.
Yeah. So that would have been a lot more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't know much about other religions, if I'm honest, like back in the day, obviously Islam only. So that was like my very first kind of way to understand other religions and know that they actually existed.
Exactly. And that's, I think, is a very important thing. which we didn't have that opportunity because it was just stuff about like the Bible, like Jesus and all the rest, like the Catholic stuff. So we didn't get any of that. So that was a bad thing about the school. But like I said, we didn't have any choice in that. It was compulsory.
How about languages?
Yeah, so I studied French from in year 7, 8, and 9. And I remember that I had studied French in primary school. And the first 2 years of secondary school were exactly the same as the last two years of primary school. So I was really good at French. And then we got to the third year and that was like new stuff. And I was terrible. And then that's when I dropped languages, which, again, was a big regret. Although I must admit, the way languages were taught in school, I mean, here in Italy, everyone always says English is taught in a really bad way at school. But
yeah.
I don't think they realise how bad foreign languages were taught in England. Like,
can we talk about that? Because honestly, like, I still remember how terrible it was. Like, I chose German as my GCSE, but I did French for like a good 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I just remember the teachers just being absolutely terrible at like teaching these languages compared to like how I know how to teach languages now. You're like, no,
I don't really remember much of the lesson at all being taught in French. I don't remember any French basically being used. I just remember, like, it would be like English like 95% of the time, and then like a few words in French. But so that was the main thing, and no one ever like spoke French. We never had we literally just never spoke at all.
There was no conversation classes. I don't remember that. Do remember having a pen pal in Germany. Wow. Where we wrote to them like in but there was no speaking. It was like there was a lot of writing, which I got really good at writing in German. But when it came to speaking, it's like very basic, like ich heiße, like it was just like very, very limited. How my name is, this is how old I am. Like, these are the subjects I'm taking. And I'm like, why is this even helping me right now? Like, it doesn't help. But yeah, I mean, I went to a language school, which meant like we had to take so many different languages.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Yeah. I took Arabic as for my GCSE, German. Oh, wow. We did Japanese as one of the languages. Oof, that.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So they were really serious about languages in my school, which was a good thing, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Because there are also near where I'm from, there was a language school as well. Mm. But I don't know how the languages were taught there. But yeah, certainly in my school, it was done in a very, very bad way. And so, yeah, when people talk about how bad the English teaching is here, I always think, well, I think you need to see how bad foreign languages are taught in the UK. And I also think that people often blame like British people for not wanting to learn languages. And there is a lot of that. For example, I know lots of people that have lived here for many years and they don't speak any Italian. So I still think that's true. But I also think it's also like the system, because no one makes you feel like it's important. Mm. In fact, almost quite the opposite. So that's why, for example, I dropped foreign languages, because I was obviously very young and no one made me think it was important. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to study this. Whilst, for example, here in Italy, like studying English now, maybe it was different years ago, but everyone makes you understand like this is important. Like you need this if you want to like work abroad or even just communicate with other people, because only Italy is, there's only one country that speaks Italian. And so that's why, I mean, still, I not in comparison to like maybe countries in the north of Europe, but people still leave school with like some English at least. I mean, different levels. Some people leave school with really good English, some people less. But to have a very basic conversation, most people can do that.
I feel like, yeah, exactly. If you were to speak to them in English, they could hold a conversation.
Yeah.
But that never happened.
No, absolutely.
Like, we could only talk about ourselves. And then as soon as they ask me a question, it's like, okay. I wasn't taught that. That didn't happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I completely like agree with you in terms of like it wasn't functional. We were not taught languages for it to be something like, oh, I could go and now use that language, communicate with someone and actually have some sort of communication going.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Absolutely not at all. Literally, like you said, not even hold a basic conversation. Basically, just to go, like you said, to Germany and tell someone how old you are. It's like far as it got, really. Yeah.
So, like, I want to ask you one more thing about school. What kind of student were you?
I think I was the classic, like, could do better if he applied himself kind of thing. It was basically the end of year report for every subject. I think that probably like sums up my, I mean, I remember, for example, at the beginning of secondary school, the first year, I was really keen. It's like, you know, big school. There's obviously lots of people I didn't know there because I came from like quite a small primary school.
Yeah.
And then you go to like secondary school and there were so many more people. And I remember like the first year I did sort of quite well. And then, yeah, it was just kind of like slowly downward hill after that, really, until I got maybe to like sixth form. So like A levels, I did a bit better. But yeah, I think it was just, I didn't, as the teachers say, like used to say, I didn't apply myself. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for answering that. Like I was more of the, I started off as the quiet person. You know, I'm always the most quiet person in the room at the very beginning. But then I just started to become like the joker in the classroom where I would try and make jokes about everything or laugh. I think it was more about laughing. I was always laughing in class. But I was always like the kind of the dark horse. Like, you know, it looked like I wasn't doing very well. And then when the exams come, I would work really hard and, you know, try and do my best in terms of like to get the grades and every single time surprise my teacher who thought I was going to fail the subjects because of the way I was in class. So I was that person.
Yeah. That sort of reminds you of something that happened to me, almost like one of my worst memories, I suppose, for maths. So for my GCSEs, again, although like I said, I was quite good at maths, I enjoyed it, again I didn't apply myself. And then I remember when I got the results, because for the like GCSE exam, like I really studied a lot, because you get like study leave, don't you? You get some days off school, and I really, really studied hard, and I got an A. And then I said to my maths teacher the day when you go to get the results, I was really happy, I said, look, I got an A. And she said to me, I know, but you don't deserve it. And I was like, that's such a horrible thing to say. Like, I really, I mean, admittedly, I suppose during the year, probably didn't really work so hard. But in these few weeks, like I've been working like so much to like catch up on like maybe things that I hadn't done so well. And I really did work hard. Well, in my mind, I deserved it because I really worked hard. But I just thought, why say that? I was so happy. And there was no need to say that. It was a really horrible thing, I thought.
I just remember having the worst teachers. I mean, being a teacher now, would you ever say that to
I wouldn't even dream of saying that. Like,
even if you believe that.
Yeah, of course. You would never say something like that. Absolutely. Yeah, it's terrible.
It affects students. I remember my geography teacher, I think I was like just chatting to my friend, as you do in class, next to me. And I didn't listen to her after she asked me to keep quiet several times. So what did she do? Like kick the table and it just smacks me in the stomach. And I was just like, I didn't know back then that was like literal abuse. Yeah. But like, it's just kind of shocking to see
that
how
is.
Teachers acted back in the day. Almost like if they didn't even get any sort of training. I know for a fact they didn't understand psychology or how to like... treat children and how to like make sure that they do their best and not or make them feel like they don't deserve what they've achieved. What the hell is that?
Like, without knowing how much work they've done at home as well. Obviously you see them in school, but you have no idea what's going on.
But what is this about deserving though? What are you deserving?
Exactly.
Like what is it that you have to like torture yourself throughout the year?
Yeah.
Do really well in school, then you deserve to have the grade I'm really shocked by that.
Like, and just as well, like, they've got no idea of like what situation you've got going on at home or anything like that. So to make judgments, I think is just, yeah, terrible. But I mean, I hope things are a bit better now. We've like, especially with so much now about like mental health and stuff like this. So I hope anyway, the teachers are a bit nicer to students
absolutely. I really do hope so, because it can make such a massive difference,
of course. Because teachers for you at that young age are like huge influences on your life. In fact, one of my teachers from school, I kind of jokingly say he like changed my life, but also not, because so I had him from like 16 to 18, and just, I mean, just the way he made me think about things. And like, maybe so when I, this was when I started my A-levels and I was going down maybe the wrong path kind of thing. And just with a few sort of conversations with him, just, he just almost changed my way of thinking a lot and had a massive influence on my life. So yeah, I think teachers can have a huge influence, and it can be positive or negative. So they need to make sure that they're trying to obviously leave a positive impact on these people, because if otherwise, if they're not careful, it can go the other way, which is obviously not a good thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Well, that was a really nice conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it sent me right back. So I want to end this with just ask you a few questions that are like kind of outside of the topic, just to know your thoughts about things. Like, the first question is, like, are you learning any languages at the moment?
Well, I mean, I speak Italian. I speak quite well. But I, like, the learning never stops, I think, when you learn a foreign language. I would like to, like, study a new language. But I really want to master this. I mean, I speak to my wife every day in Italian. And she says, like, your Italian is fantastic. What's the problem?
Yeah.
But me personally, I'm still not satisfied, and I still want to improve. So yeah, I still study Italian. I mean, there are times when I don't do anything, but there are times when, like, I read and do all of the things, like use new vocabulary and practice writing and do all the rest of it. So yes, the language I'm studying is still Italian.
Okay, I love that, because it just shows how much you love the language and how deep you want to go into studying it, and really being able to get every joke and understand every nuance of the
exactly language. That and especially now, because I have a young daughter who I imagine hopefully will grow up bilingual, because I speak to her in English and my wife speaks to her in Italian, and I don't want her laughing at my mistakes in Italian when she hears me speaking Italian. So that's like some more motivation I have to like really perfect the language.
I love that. Like, you know, we spoke like 2 years ago or three, I think now. And you didn't have a daughter like the last time we spoke, which is crazy to me to hear you talk about your daughter now.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It's crazy for me still as well.
So I wanted to ask you about the term like fearless English learner. So I use it a lot. And so I always ask the people I invite on my podcast for the very first time what they think an English learner, like what would they define a fearless English learner?
So are you talking to just by that definition of fearless learner? I mean, I personally think the most important thing in language is your confidence about how much like you're willing to speak, willing to make mistakes, and just having to accept that's part of the process, really. And I think the sooner people realize that, the like more improvement they can make in much faster. So if I think of a fearless English learner, that's what I think of, someone that isn't afraid to like try out new vocabulary. And when it happens, because it will happen, you make a mistake, but to like see the funny side, to learn from the mistake. I mean, I'm sure everyone's got these stories, but yeah, I've got stories as well. I've said stupid things that I didn't intend to say. Yeah. Everyone started laughing. And but then you think, right, well, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again, though. So yeah, and not obviously giving up, like in those, let's say, embarrassing moments when you do make a mistake. So yeah, if I think of a fearless learner, I think of someone like that's willing to like put themselves out there, which is exactly what speaking a language is. I saw something recently that said like speaking a language is like acting in a theater play every time you open your mouth, because it really is. It's like being on a stage and talking and. Yeah. You know, that's a difficult thing to do. If you said to anyone, okay, go up and act in front of people, everyone would be like, whoa.
Yeah.
But that is essentially what you're doing every time you open your mouth when you speak another language. So
that's how I feel in any language.
Like, yeah.
I feel like I'm acting in any language that I speak, because people do constantly judge what comes out of your mouth. So it is a lot of pressure. But thank you so much for that. Like, that's really insightful. I've really enjoyed having you here today,
Thanks,
Martin.
For having me on. I've loved it.
Thank you so much. And hopefully we see you again. I mean,
yes.
See you, hear you again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you for coming, and thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed today's lesson, then you'll love our speaking club, where we take what we learn in these lessons and put it into action. You'll get to meet other women and practice speaking English every week for an hour. All you have to do is go to www.blackboardenglish.com/cup. I'll say that again, www.blackboardenglish.com/cup. Let's work together to help you become a confident English speaker. See you in class.